Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day, recording at 9:15 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. First, after several weeks of dramatic news regarding commodity, agricultural price commodity rises, and then, of course, the extraordinary events that we saw emanating from Egypt last week, the resolution of that crisis to date appears to have reassured Asian investors that at least the price of crude oil is not going to be spiking anytime soon, unlike the grains and beans. And that led to a pretty strong day in Asia here today. China surged and has actually been up 8 out of the last 9 trading days spanning the New Year's holiday. But most of the Asian stock markets were higher. And India, which had had that upside key day reversal on Friday, which Owen mentioned in Friday's Big Picture audio, followed that with another strong gain and an upside breakaway gap. More on those two markets in a moment. Now, in the Asian region, strong generally, but China and India to the fore. But again, the Nikkei, the Hang Seng, Australia, these are solid performances in here today. Europe was much more mixed, closing mixed, very little percentage change shown there. And in the Americas, Brazil appears to have had the best gain here, up 1.22%. Wall Street, which had been down most of the day, closed with a marginal gain, up a quarter of 1% for the S&P, and about the same for the NASDAQ. Long-dated government bond prices were a little bit steadier here today, except for the bunds, euro bunds. The U.S. dollar, which was firmer for much of last week after what had been a sell-off over the preceding 3 to 4 weeks, the U.S. dollar, say having firmed last week, had continued in that mode here today. The U.S. dollar index is back up to 78.60. The euro is back down to 134.89 as I speak. And I mentioned long-dated government bond prices. What else? In the commodities, industrial metals, very strong. Really right across the boards. And in precious metals, a little bit of seesaw activity. Gold did the least, but it's currently at 362.45. That's $4 off the high, but $8 off the low. And platinum has pushed back up to 18.32 and a bit. Silver was about the strongest, up to 30.61 here today. And palladium up to 833.65. And among the other agricultural commodities not mentioned, looks like coffee. Coffee had another good day in here. Sugar a bit lower. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, as I mentioned in my review and introduction, that we have had several weeks where markets have been focusing on the extraordinary price rises that we were seeing in many agricultural commodities. That subsided a little bit today. Corn and soybeans and rough rice were down, although wheat was up here today. But that has exacerbated inflationary concerns, and that weighed a little bit on bond markets, and it also created a bit of a headwind for stock markets. But the resolution to date, without a lot of violence, of the Egyptian situation, thankfully, resolved without a lot of violence, has certainly calmed the markets. And that's against a background of a number of oversold conditions among the Asian stock markets. Now, just as a little bit of an overall review, remember the Asian stock markets had, and the resources markets, had led the recoveries from the 2008 lows. And most of those were completing base formations around the time or shortly after Wall Street and most of the other, and most of the European, most of the other Western markets reached their bear market lows in March of 2009. So the Asian resources markets led on the way up, and they led last year until about November, when they had become really very overextended relative to their trend means represented by the rising 200-day moving averages. Owen and I commented on that on practically a daily basis. So they were overdue for some mean reversion, and that's exactly what they've been seeing: a combination of sideways activity and downward reactions. And corrections for the ones that were hit a bit harder, where there were particular concerns, as we have seen with the China A shares and also with India. I don't need to review the reasons for those concerns. You'll be very familiar with them, I'm sure, having listened to earlier audios and just financial news news generally. Well, as I say, these downward moves really created short-term oversold situations, and we've now seen the beginnings of what might be quite an important rebound. It only started with India, for instance, on Friday. So again, these events are not confirmed, or these turns, important turns, are not confirmed until well after the event. But it's a very promising start, I'll put it that way. And it occurred following a moderate breach of the rising 200-day moving average, which is acceptable. Those recent lows would have to be taken out to negate the current scope for a further recovery move. Now, among the various factors that will influence sentiment, the most important one, I maintain, is commodity prices. That was temporarily outweighed by events taking place in Egypt, not surprisingly. Now it's commodities back to the fore, and we are going to see some additional food price inflation as a consequence of all that. So that does remain an obstacle in the path of these markets, but it was pretty thoroughly discounted by the corrections that we've seen in the Asian stock markets. So coinciding with that, I'm just going to take the headset off for a moment and just have a quick cough. Coinciding with that was the fashion move away from so-called emerging markets. I prefer to describe them as progressing, and towards the developed country markets, and those led by the United States, but including Europe, including Japan, which has had one of the best gains of all. Now, we had been commenting on that since November, when Wall Street really did come to the fore in late November with its relative strength, and that has continued here right up to current activity. But we've had a bit of role reversal taking place, whereas the emerging progressing markets have mostly completed mean reversion moves back to their 200-day moving averages. The U.S. stock market indices now look quite overextended relative to those MAs. They're still pushing higher, but if there's one really important closest we get to a law of physics and what's a social science here of markets, it tends to be mean reversion. And something I've often emphasized, but when a market becomes too, when a trend, I should say, becomes too overextended relative to its mean, represented by the 200-day moving average, then it becomes increasingly susceptible to a reversion towards that, back towards that mean. And it works on the downside, and it works on the upside as well. So the role reversals, I say, that we have seen has been the correction back to the mean for the progressing emerging markets. And we have seen overextensions develop relative to the mean for a number of the developed country markets. So the blindingly obvious conclusion, to me at any rate, is don't expect Wall Street to maintain that relative strength vis-a-vis Asia and resources markets for the rest of this year. It has yet to crack. I thought it was cracking last week and the week before, and opened a couple of hedge shorts, which I've subsequently covered, as you'll see today in comment. Wall Street's still extending this move overall, but the point I want to leave you with is that at some point, probably over the next few weeks rather than months, we will see the commencement of a pause, a loss of upside momentum is what's likely to take place first, followed by some mean reversion towards that MA, and that can occur with the MA moving up and the index moving sideways to a bit lower to meet that level. What I should also add is that these developed country markets led by Wall Street are not hugely overextended relative to those means, the way a number of the Asian markets and smaller resources markets were back in November. But they are overextended, so we need to bear that in mind. Now, what about these long-dated government bonds? Again, I think this is generally a hostile environment here because more and more people are recognizing that where the recovery is good enough, interest rates are going to move up, and those countries are probably also experiencing at least some food price inflation. And some of the more sluggish economies are experiencing a bit of stagflation rather, because no one can really escape this upward pressure on the food prices. Now, I maintain that that's a bigger headwind for government bonds than it is for the stock market sector, and I think that bond market yields, probably led by the U.S. 30-year bond prices, are likely to, or the bond yields rather, are likely to head upwards. In other words, the bond prices for those long-dated U.S. government bonds are likely to head lower, and so thus I've maintained and actually increased my overall short position today. What else to mention? This mining strength that we're seeing, it's really right across the boards. It's very good for those core mining positions, which I know that many investors have, but it's everything from the major miners to the better funds like the BlackRock World Mining Trust to the more speculative mines among the uraniums and rare earth manufacturers. And we've got this very solid performance of metal prices to back that up. Interesting, a very interesting environment. And again, all the best.